welcome to another episode of Braveheart Talks, and I'm so glad that you could join me today for some good God-centered conversation. Have you ever wondered why your life feels clunky and stuck sometimes, and perhaps not running as smoothly as it ought to? That is because God has designed your life to be a shape that fits the shape of his perfect plan. And the Bible is full of insight and information on how we are to best live our lives. So I want to take you to a scripture today, and we're going to have some conversation about the way that God intended you to live. So I want to take you to Proverbs 3, which in my Bible is titled Wisdom and Well-being. Verses 1 and 2 say, if you want a truly long and satisfying life, never forget the things that I have taught you. Follow closely to every truth that I have given you, and then you will have a full and rewarding life. You know, this whole chapter hangs on the word if. Like, the word if means that something must happen before another thing can happen. So you can have a long, satisfying, full and rewarding life. That's what God promises you if you follow closely to his truths. The word long, it means the length of time that you are here upon the earth. God wants to give you longevity of life. The word satisfying, it means you're not going to be wanting for anything. It's kind of like the diminishing of feelings such as jealousy, greed, lust. The word full means that by the end of the days, you will feel like you've completed your mission on earth and there won't be any room left for anything else because your life was lived full of purpose. And the word rewarding speaks of rewards both here on this earth and in the next life. Do you know God wants you to prosper in this life? And as you prosper in this life, you're storing up treasures in heaven. But this is the verse that I want you to get a hold of. Verses 3 and 4 says, hold on to loyal love and do not let go, and be faithful to all that you've been taught. Let your life be shaped by integrity with truth written upon your heart. That's how you will find favor and understanding with both God and men, and you will gain the reputation of living life well. Let your life be shaped by integrity. When I read this scripture, it suggests to me that there is a shape, a form, and an image that our lives are to be defined by, and that shape is integrity. So the fact that we are told to shape ourselves in this way leaves us to assume that there are perhaps other ways that we can or could shape our lives that are perhaps less desirable shapes. You know, part of a child's developmental skills is learning the structure of different shapes. They begin to recognize what a square is and what a triangle looks like, but the testing of their skills really comes into play when they get their first puzzle sorting shaper. You know, the one where they have to put the right shape in the right hole. And there's nothing more frustrating than watching those little ones trying to force the star into the shape of a round hole. And sometimes they will sit there for ages, just pushing and twisting, determined that this shape will go into the wrong shaped hole. You know, as adults, we know how the saying goes, you can't put a square peg in a round hole, right? If the form of the object doesn't match the shape of the hole you're trying to put it in, it's just not going to work. And I think this is the image that God gets sometimes when he looks at our very lives. When he sees the choices that we make and the paths that we turn down and the relationships we try and shoehorn ourselves into and we try to force to work out well, he must look and think to himself, wow, that will never work for you because I designed you and I shaped you in a different form and you're trying to force that plan into your life and it's never going to work for you because it's not the shape that I have designed for you. And that's why in scripture, God teaches us that I am the potter. You are the clay. It's given us imagery that suggests that our lives should be pliable in his hands for him to shape us into his chosen image. But like a child with those learning shapes, We don't know what integrity shape, if we don't know, sorry, what integrity shape is or what it looks like, how will we ever find our right fit in life? And I want to just give you some points that are actually a breakdown of what integrity looks like. Number one, integrity, it's the quality of being honest. Are you able to be honest? Are you able to speak the truth, even if your truthfulness costs you? Even if you being honest makes you feel the odd one out, are you able to be the person of integrity, speaking honesty when it makes you feel awkward or uncomfortable? You know, once I walked down the high street in Liverpool, down Church Street in Liverpool, I'd been in a dressing room and I came out and I had the back of my dress tucked into my underwear, and I walked the full length of Church Street. And eventually a guy came running up and literally put his coat behind me. And although I didn't want to hear what he had to say, hey girl, you've got your dress tucked into your underwear, I was grateful for the one person who actually did speak the truth to me. He could see what everyone else could also see that I could not see about me. But he was one person who was willing to come up and be truthful, because his truthfulness helped me. Everyone else knew it. Everyone else was talking about it. There's a girl walking down the street and she's got her skirt tucked into her pants. But nobody came and spoke that truth to me. And so I'm super grateful for the one. You see, we're all called to be ambassadors of truth. And it takes a friend to come alongside you and sometimes say to you, hey, girl, you know you've got spinach in your teeth. Or, hey, girlfriend, let me just clean up your face. You've got some mascara that's smudged. Or what about the friend that says to you, hey, listen, you know your attitude was just not so great in that situation. Or, are you okay because your spirit just seems a little bit off right now? Or I don't think that decision that you're making is the best. I don't think that's the wise thing. You see, we all need friends like that, because honesty is not always easy. But you are not responsible for how another person receives what you say, but you are responsible for what you do with the truth that you know. So I want to say to you, be a lover of people, be tender-hearted, and be an ambassador of truth. The second point about integrity that describes integrity is it is strong in moral principles. These are the traits you build your life around. They are not flexible. In fact, they are immovable. They ground you and they hold you. They are the non-negotiables in your life. And anytime that you embark on a new relationship, whether it's in the dating area, whether it's with a friendship or a business partner, you're going to make those other people aware of your morals, because you've set your stall out, because you're intent on the type of life that you are building and the type of person that you are becoming. Amos 3:3 says, unless two people first agree, how can they walk together? So rather than ending up in a compromising situation or forming an unhealthy attachment, which is going to cause you problems in the future, make certain that the principles by which you live your life are not hidden. And hey, listen, you young girls, do not wait until you're on your sixth or seventh date before you tell him that you are a Christian or that you go to church or church plays a big part of your life. And you couples that are dating, be sure that you talk about honoring God with your finances before you get married. Make sure you've set your stall out well with strong morals. Strong morals is having a belief system that is so defined that it stands out. It is a noticeable trait on your life. But it is only in times of pressure and problems that your belief system is made known. It's in these times that we see the difference between those who say they have morals and those who actually live out those morals. It's only when you have been deeply hurt that you get to show your principle of forgiveness. And there's many other different examples, but I think the point is that God will allow you to face challenging situations so that the strength of your integrity can be put to the test. It's only in adversity, it's only in adversity that your morals will be strengthened. And listen, not every crisis is an attack from the enemy. We know that, right? Not every problem are things falling apart, because sometimes God will allow you to go through stuff so you can see what's really inside of you. Some stuff God will allow you to go through so that he can see what's really inside of you. God tests us from time to time. The third point about integrity, what helps us to define integrity, is it's a state of being whole. In other words, you are not a divided person, you are a whole person. If you're not whole, then you are divided, and half of anything is no good. Psalm 86, verse 11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear and respect your name." That word fear, it means honor and respect. "So that I may honor and respect your name." Wholeness is when your heart, your mind, your actions, and your words are all in alignment. If I'm wholeheartedly into something, then my thoughts are thinking about it, my mouth is speaking about it, and my actions are living by it. Half-heartedness is when your mouth talks a good talk, but then your actions don't follow the words that you speak. And this way displeases God. God gives you the option to choose the way you live your life, but he says, choose how you're going to live and then live it. He would rather you choose his way, but the truth is you do have a choice. But his way is the path that leads to eternal life. But you get to choose, and just be sure that whatever your choice is, you are all in. Wholeheartedly pursuing God means I'm all in. On my good days and on my bad days, I'm all in. When I feel like it and when I don't, I'm in. When it's going well for me and when it's going wrong for me, I choose to believe and honor your ways. And then God will allow your integrity to be tested in that area. The fourth point around integrity is the condition of being sound in construction. If we were referring to the building of a house, then the phrase sound in construction would mean strength, robust, solid. We would talk about the durability of that house, its stability, its toughness, like can it withstand weather conditions? Your life is under construction, and the master builder being God and his foreman being the Holy Spirit, it's the foreman's duty to make sure the building is constructed according to the plans of the master builder. So it's his job to ensure that the right tools are in place and the right tools are in the right hands and the right materials are in the right place, and that the job is completed within the time frame of the master builder's choice. And so a person of integrity allows the foreman of the Holy Spirit to freely walk around the construction of their life, making a snag list, pointing out what's misaligned, making notes on the areas where there are cracks appearing, noticing what's been started and what is not yet completed, and making sure everything's running in line and on time. It's only when we allow the Holy Spirit to correct and address and bring into line our character that a person of integrity is developed. And like a well-constructed building is able to withstand the strongest of storms, so too are we robust and strong and able to withstand any storm of adversity life might throw at us. A person of integrity is internally, structurally sound. Integrity, this is point number five, is not easily corrupted. You know, your shape is changing. You know your shape is changing for the better when you are the last one to hear about the gossip, when people don't even deem you worthy of sharing that information with you. Your shape is changing. Gossip, slander, talking out the side of your mouth, opinions, double standards, it's something we will all wrestle with within our lifetime. This kind of talk spreads like wildfire. It will hop from person to person just to keep itself burning. It knows how to avoid those who have internal consistency. It knows how to avoid those whose shapes are changing. We have wrongly presumed that if we are not in the know, then we are not in with the crowd. But I would rather like to suggest to you that you use your lack of ground gossip as a mark of heavenly integrity developing in your life. The final point that I'd like to make is that integrity is unshakable. You know, when we were in Turkey several years ago now, and my youngest son was about 10 years old, and there was an actual earthquake in the middle of the night whilst we were all asleep. And I didn't know it was an earthquake at the time, but what started to happen was the wardrobe doors, we woke up and the wardrobe doors were crazily moving and things in the wardrobe were falling and the dressing table in the bedroom was shaking. And I sat up and I got hold of my husband and I was like, what's happened? What's happened? And he said, I'm not sure. And when everything kind of stopped moving and we lay back down, he got his phone out and he checked his news app and we discovered that there'd been an earthquake just a few miles away, quite a significant earthquake, just a few miles away from where we were. And we kind of like talked about it for a few moments and we got back into bed and we went finally back to sleep. And in the morning when we woke up, it suddenly dawned on us that neither of us had bothered to go and check in on our 10-year-old son after this tremor. And I went into his bedroom the next morning, and I kid you not, his legs were still in the bed. His body was hanging off the bed and his upper half and his head was fast asleep on the tiled floor. In other words, the earthquake had actually shaken him out of his bed, but that child remained fast asleep. And I just want to say to you that when you're a person of integrity, you're unshakable. And it doesn't matter what you go through and it doesn't matter what you experience, because you will still know and find perfect peace. Like your spirit is immoved. It's not moved by the circumstances around you, that you don't change who you are. You don't change your morals. You don't change your standards. You don't change your shape because of something you're experiencing. And I wanted to just encourage you in this today. And I want to say to you and remind you once again that God has a shape for you. He has a fit for you. And it's all in his word. Check it out in Proverbs 3 and remind yourself, I am not just designed to be anything or anyone or fit into other people's ideas of who I should be or what I should be. God says he wants to shape my life with integrity. And this is how I define who I am. I hope you've enjoyed Braveheart Podcast this week. And I am excited to see you all at Conference 2025. Be in the room. It is going to be something different.